Now, the Academy Award winner, Miss Ann Baxter, on the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. Bromo Seltzer presents Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tales of suspense, thrills, adventure, by Hollywood's finest writers with Hollywood's top stars. Portions of this program are transcribed, and it's brought to you by the Headache Help, which reminds you to
fight headache three ways.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Herbert Rawlinson. Welcome to Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. The law recognizes that all murders and murderers are not alike. Yes, under the law, there is a difference in degree. But perhaps there is still a greater difference. Judge for yourself as you share the stark, helpless terror of Miss Ann Baxter in A Question of Time.
The road south of Ensenada, groping its way down the spiny peninsula of Baja California, is no road at all by the standards of the average motorist in the United States. It's a road of dirt and desolation, a road of shifting sands and bruising rocks, of quail that scoot through the variant clumps of cactus, and doves that rise in soft, whirring clouds. A road of palm trees and mangroves and fairyland beaches. High adventure beckons down this road, but never again will it beckon to me.
You'll love it, Mary. I spent a few weeks down there one summer, back in 39 or 40. It's like another world, a throwback to Kit Carson days. And practically on our doorstep. Fishing, I've never known anything like it. And the change will be great for you and the kid. He's 7 years old now. What a bang he'll get out of it. Never forget it as long as he lives. Oh, come on, Mary, what do you say?
I didn't begin to get really uneasy until the third morning, when we stopped at the little mining town of Masada for some last-minute supplies. It was only 9 o'clock, but the heat pressed in on the car in shimmering, oppressive waves. I watched a mangy dog plod over through the shade of the adobe building and thought of my cool, clean tile and porcelain kitchen and of the friendly tinkle of milk bottles under the gay awnings of the porch. And I couldn't help wishing that our vacation was over, that we were heading north instead of south.
Move over, Bobby. I'll just dump this stuff in beside.
Sure, Dad. We all set now?
All set. Next stop is it.
Oh, Doug.
Yes, Mary?
That man, I think he's coming over to talk to us.
Oh. Buenos dias, senor.
Buenos dias, amigo. You're going south, see?
A couple of hours' drive from here is all. If I don't get lost and can still find the place.
Place to fish, eh?
Right.
But you got a gun, see?
Why do you ask that?
Well, I do not wish to alarm you, senor, but, I am from the Department of Policia.
I had a hunch.
We were looking for somebody from across the border. Maybe you're reading the papers, eh? His name is Lawson.
You think Lawson's down here?
It's hard to tell. Maybe yes, maybe no.
I've got a gun, all right.
Doug, maybe we should turn back.
Gosh, Mom.
Okay, whatever you say, Mary, but chances are he's hot-footed at hundreds of miles south. If he ever came his way at all.
Sí. Proof we don't have, but that's such a pity to spoil your vacation.
Sure.
You ain't gonna make us turn back, huh, Mom?
Bobby?
Okay. You aren't gonna make us turn back, are you, Mom?
It's up to you, Mary. We're with a place only a couple of hours from here.
Please, Mom.
Well, I just thought.
Atta girl. Adios, senor. If we stumble on anything, we'll let you know.
Muchas gracias, senor. Good fishing.
Good hunting for you.
Twice we strayed from the road. It was noon before we reached our destination. A curving bay with a wide fringe of coral sand, and waters so sparkling that they mirrored the furry white patches in the sky. There was only one thing to mar the breathtaking perfection of it. A long, lean jetty that bisected the shore, standing gaunt and ugly during low tide, when only its farthermost piers dipped into the water. I hated that jetty from the moment I first saw it, and yet somehow I had expected to see it there.
We'll pitch the tent up above by the road, Mary. Now that you've had a glimpse of my soul's delight, what do you think? And it better be ecstatic.
It is, except for the jetty.
Oh, that... There's an abandoned onyx mine near here. They built the jetty so they could load the stuff onto boats.
Can we go on a fishing from the end of the jetty, Dad?
We sure are. And, son, if you had a freckle for every bass and barracuda that I pulled... Hello.
What? Oh.
Huh?
Blocked off the approach to the jetty.
Yeah. What's that sign say, Dad?
Peligro, danger.
Oh, well, we can still fish there.
I should say not.
Oh, Mom, you're a spoiled sport. This morning you wanted us to turn back because of some man, and now
Bobby,
you
Bobby, you're speaking to the woman I love. Besides, they wouldn't have condemned the jetty if it wasn't ready to totter.
Heck, everything's ruined.
Now who's being a sourpuss? Don't worry, son. There are plenty of rocky promontories around here we can fish from.
Yeah, but... Say, what's an onyx?
Now, there's a question more to my liking. I'll show you some after we've made camp and rustled up some grub.
After lunch, I stayed behind getting the camp things in order, while Doug and Bobby wandered off to inspect the abandoned onyx mine. Not that I wasn't curious. It was just... Well, Bobby was right. I was a spoilsport. Maybe it was the newness, the strangeness, the aloneness. Like another world, Doug had said. Maybe when I got used to it. Meanwhile, I had to keep from showing how I felt. Doug, where's Bobby?
I sent him down to the beach. I didn't want him to hear.
What?
Mary, I think someone's been hiding in the old onyx mine.
The man they're looking for, Lawson.
Yeah.
What makes you think so?
There were remains of a fire.
Well, but it could have been anyone.
Keeping that fire from being seen wouldn't have been important to anyone.
Well, maybe it was a long time ago.
Mary, if I'm any judge, somebody cooked himself some fish there last night.
Oh. Well, what are we going to do?
Head back for Masada and tell that police officer. We'll leave the tent, but toss everything else back into the car. Let's see, it's 2 o'clock now.
Doug, you shouldn't have let Bobby go off by himself.
Well, now, Mary, just because... He's within earshot.
I know, but...
Okay, if it'll make you feel any easier.
Doug!
What's the matter?
There, Bobby.
Where?
Out on the end of that jetty, and it isn't safe.
Can't be that unsafe. Bobby! Walk slowly.
What do you want?
What did I tell you about that jetty? Now, get off of there this minute. You heard what I said. Guess he got excited and ran out to wave at that boat out there.
Yes,
must
yes.
be one of those lobster boats. They go up and down the coast buying from the native fishermen.
Hurry up, Bobby!
Better not rush him too much, Mary. Big gaps in the planking. He's liable... Well, he's got to watch his step.
Watch your step, Bob! Oh.
Easy now. He may have just slipped.
Yes!
Come on, come on, Mary. He'll be all right. He just got his foot stuck, is all.
Yes, but that jetty...
You don't get yourself in an uproar. There's nothing worse than making him panic. Just stay put, son! I'm coming!
Fifty feet out on that long, gaunt, hateful jetty, a chubby little boy of 7 sat with his foot wedged between the warp planks. Sat waiting guiltily, shamefacedly, for his father to come and pry him loose. That was all. And yet the cool sea breezes turned hot on my cheek as I watched Doug climb over the barricade and walk gingerly out on the spindly thing. Now I was at Bobby's side. Nothing had happened. The groaning of the timbers, the slight sway of the jetty, it was just imagination. Doug was talking to Bobby now, quietly, easily. How well they got on together. How wonderful to have such a father for my son. Now Doug was tugging at the foot. It wouldn't come loose. Now he tugged again. Tugged harder, harder. And suddenly the foot came loose. And the jetty came loose. And the figures of the man and the boy. No, no, it was just my imagination again. The jetty couldn't be toppling over. It couldn't! Paralyzed, refusing to believe my senses. If I tried hard enough, if I closed my eyes and then looked again, maybe...
Mom! Mom!
Oh, Bobby! Bobby, you're all right.
Mom.
Let me hold you tight, darling.
You better come.
Come.
It's Dad, Mom. He fell on him, Mom. A whole pile of stuff is laying right on his leg.
Oh, Doug lay on the coral sand with his right leg trapped under the snarled wreckage. Just the right leg up to the calf. The rest of him was free. A few more inches and he'd have been walking around now, laughing. A few more inches and this would have been nothing more than an experience to make your friends oh and ah for years to come. An experience to make you savor life all the more. And even go to church more often for a while. Just a few more inches. Doug, is it bad?
No, worse than a kick in the shins, Mary. Oh. Nothing broken or anything. Miracle, my leg wasn't crushed.
Oh, darling.
Gee, Dad, it's all my fault. If I hadn't run out on the edge of the jetty to wave...
Help me, Bobby. Don't just stand there.
Sure, Mom. I just wanted Dad to know.
It's all right, sir.
Now, see, maybe we can get it loose. The timbers underneath can be untangled. Push, Bobby. Push. Put all your weight behind it.
Mary.
Anyway, rest for a second, Bobby.
Okay.
Yes, Doug.
Mary, remember when Bobby was 2 years old? Cut himself pretty badly on some glass?
What are you trying to tell me?
You saved Bobby's life then, by keeping your head.
You sure did, Mom.
Go on, Doug.
Yeah, was...
You and Bobby alone will never be able to dislodge that big timber.
Oh, Doug.
You'll have to go for help, Mary, back to Masada.
No, but that's 2 hours away.
Uh-huh.
And 2 hours back.
I'm comfortable.
But the tide... Tide. It's low tide now, but it's high tide.
Mom, what's the matter? Why you got that funny look?
Bobby. You've got to keep your head, too.
Sorry, Daddy.
Mary.
Yes?
There's time enough if you don't waste any of it.
But I can't. I can't
go on.
You've
got to, Mary.
But what if I lose my way?
You won't.
So many things could happen.
You better get started, Mary. Bobby will stay with me. By the time you come back, another of those lobster boats may have come along. You'll stop it, won't you, Bobby?
You bet I will, Daddy. I'll yell so loud.
That first aid kit in the back of the car, Mary. Bobby will go up with you and get it. Don't forget to take the right turn at the first fork you come to.
Yes.
And don't try to drive too fast, or... Better get started, Mary.
The last time I looked back before jerking the car into motion, it wasn't at the man lying on the sand below, as though for a comfortable snooze, nor at the little boy standing so erect and quiet beside him. It was at the tide, the rising tide. There's nothing so inexorable as the tide, I thought. Inch by inch it moves, obeying its own immutable laws. And no one has ever stopped it, and no one ever will. How long before it would inch its way up to the reclining figure? How long before... But Doug knew about such things, and I didn't. Doug said there was time if I kept my head... Remember that, Mary. It all depends on you. Stray from the road just once. Take just one wrong turn. Oh, what was that Doug told me about the first fork I came to? Oh, was it the right or the left? The right or the left? Oh, dear God, if only I knew. If only I'd written it down. Right or left? Right or left? I had to decide now. Oh, here was the fork in the road. I couldn't go back and ask Doug. It was 15 minutes I'd been driving already. Back and forth would make it half an hour lost. This was a race against minutes, against seconds. I had to make up my mind, right or left. Left. Yes, that was it. I'm sure it was left. This was the road to Masada. It had to be. A man. Standing in the middle of the road. And he had a gun.
Well, I'm in luck. I was afraid you were going to take the other turn. The one to Masada.
The other... Oh... What do you want?
Your car, ma'am.
But you can't. I've got to get to Masada. You must be lost.
Yeah. But you got nothing to fear, ma'am. All I'm taking is your car.
Bromo Seltzer, famous for fast headache help, is bringing you Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tonight, starring Miss Ann Baxter in A Question of Time.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? How do you do? This is your old friend Norman Brokenshire. Say, I hope you'll consider these three important facts the next time you get an ordinary headache. One, Bromo Seltzer gives quick relief from headache pain itself. 2, it soothes upset stomach, and 3, it calms jittery nerves. There's no other product like Bromo Seltzer for fighting a headache fast all 3 ways. No wonder today more people than ever before use Bromo Seltzer. Just try it once, neighbors. Try it on this guarantee. You must be satisfied or your money back. You'll find where others fail, Bromo Seltzer works. You'll like the pleasant taste of refreshing Bromo Seltzer, too. So don't wait until a headache strikes. Get a bottle today or tomorrow at any drugstore. Yes, remember, for fast, pleasant, 3-way headache help, ask for
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Now, Act 2 of A Question of Time, starring Miss Ann Baxter.
There was a dull pounding in my ears, like the beating of surf, and I thought of Doug lying with his leg pinned under the debris of the wrecked jetty, and of the tide coming closer and closer and closer. Then I looked at the blur and looked and looked again until it had become the figure of a man with a gun. A man with a gun pointed straight at me.
I'm telling you for the last time, ma'am. Get out.
Listen to me. You've got to. I can't let you have the car. It's a matter of life and death.
Matter of life and death with me, too, ma'am. That's why I'm taking it.
But if I don't get to Misada in time and bring help, you know that jetty.
Near the old Onyx mine?
Yes.
Where your husband was snooping around?
Yeah, you saw him?
Why do you think I'm moving on in daylight?
Oh.
What about the jetty?
It collapsed and pinned my husband underneath. I've got to get him out before high tide.
How far out along the jetty is he?
50 feet.
Yeah, the tide will be there before 6, ma'am. It's 2:30 now. You'll never get help from Assad in time.
You're not just saying that.
Nothing to me, one way or the other.
But if you're right...
I am.
Well, what am I to do? You've got to come back with me and save him.
Sorry, ma'am, but I'm too busy saving myself.
But if you come with me, I'll give you the car, money, anything in the world.
You couldn't give me back my life, ma'am. That's what I'd be risking every minute. Remember, I'm wanted for murder.
But it wouldn't take long, and there's nobody to catch you. If there was, would I be begging him?
A murderer?
Oh, please, I didn't mean that. Maybe you aren't guilty of murder.
I am, though.
But you had what you thought was a reason, and now you haven't. This would be murder without cause, without provocation.
We're wasting time, ma'am, both of us.
You won't...
But there's a goat ranch down the road a piece. 2 men there, fell and his son, I judge, both of them husky.
You'll take me there.
Yeah, I'll do that for you. But that's all.
The goat ranch stood half a mile from where Lawson dropped me off. The car, my car... just a puff of dust on a wobbly horizon by the time I'd run exhausted to the cluster of ramshackle buildings. As far as the eye could see, the goats had stripped the surrounding land of anything green, anything that grew. When I was a little girl, I once had a pet goat that ate the lace curtains in the living room. Why did my mind seize on that now? Why did the memory seem so wonderful, so comforting? And why did I have to fight an impulse to snatch up the nearest baby goat and hug it to me? And let loose the flood of tears that had risen in a swollen tide. Tide! There was no sign of human life around. I stumbled up over the front stoop and peered through the open window. The interior was a dark void to my sun-sealed eyes. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Senora, the men, where are they?
The men.
Hombres. Oh, how am I ever going to explain? There's been an accidente. You've got to understand.
See, I understand.
Oh, you speak English.
Poquito, a little. Long time back, work in Tijuana. Waitress.
Listen, I was told that there were 2 men here. I need them. Quick, to help. Where are they?
They go, Meseda. They back evening.
Evening? Oh, no. Well, things can't happen like this. They can't have gone to Meseda. They were my last, my only hope.
Maybe I help. Only woman,
oh,
but...
Oh, yes. Yes, you'll go with me. To the shore, the jetty. Oh, what's the word for jetty? A sort of puente. You know, a little bridge, puente, sticking out into the ocean, down by the mine, the old
jetty.
Mine.
Si.
Yes.
In a Spanish muelle.
Good. Now listen.
The muelle, it fell down. Fell down on my husband. I've got to get him free before high tide, or you're strong. You could probably do a man's work better than most men. Together we'll... Please say you'll go with me.
Si. I go.
Gracias. Now, how'll we get there? You have horses?
No horses. Burros.
Oh.
Burros go to Mesada.
Well, then...
Walk, senora. We walk.
And so we walked. Walked in the blazing afternoon. Walked until my feet were blistered and bleeding. Till my lungs felt like a bellows clogged with dust. Till it seemed that I could walk no more. But always the straight, rough-hewn figure of the senora walked on ahead. In miles or on a map, the distance we walked may not have been much. But I still dream at night of those endless, agonizing steps. Of the frightful necessity of going on and on. For always time was running out. And the tide was running in. What? Why did you stop?
Muchacho, boy.
Oh, Bobby.
Mom. We thought you'd never get back. It's past 5 o'clock. The water's coming awful close.
Not until that moment did I realize that all this time I'd been clinging secretly to a straw. A straw of hope that something had happened while I was gone. Something that had brought about Doug's deliverance. Like the arrival of a lobster boat. But now that this was swept away, so were the shackles of my ghastly fatigue. Suddenly I was an automaton, unable to feel except the icy horror of my heart. Now it was I who led the way, who ran ahead down to the beach and to Doug, who tugged at the beam in a mad frenzy as the senora took her place beside me. Harder! Push harder!
We're making it! If I was only a man, if I was only...
Harder!
Stop, Mary.
No! I'll tear it to pieces. It has to set you free, Doug. It has to. It has to.
Mary!
Yes, Doug.
There's a hunting knife among my things.
A knife? To chop?
No, Mary. I thought of that in the beginning. Lying here watching the tide, I've thought of many things. Everything. There's only one thing that'll work. Only one way out. The knife.
The knife.
But, oh, no. Doug, you can't. You can't mean...
Yes, Mary.
Oh, no.
Mom, what are you talking about? What's happening?
Bobby, remember Johnny Adams down our block?
That lost his leg at Iwo Jima. Oh.
Better you go now, muchacho. Bring the knife.
Mom?
And some sheets, Bobby. Bring some clean sheets, too.
Mom?
Do as your father says, Bobby.
I wish it was me. If only it could have been me.
Out over the ocean, the sun was already getting low. But the blade of the hunting knife gleamed hypnotically as Doug took it from its leather sheath. For an idiotic moment, I thought he was going to hand it to me. But he didn't. He handed it to the senora.
Muchacho, better you go away.
I want to stay. I want to help.
Bobby.
Let him, Mary. He'll be all right, won't you, son?
Sure. Sure, Dad.
Only, better not look. You too, Mary.
Doug.
There's no other way, Mary. Remember that.
Yes.
Ready with the first aid stuff?
I'm ready.
All right, senora. When this wave rolls back, that'll be it.
I closed my eyes, braced myself, waited. It was one of those moments when time stands still. As though in a dream, I saw myself in my bridal gown. I was the caress of orange blossoms in the air. And the man I loved was coming slowly toward me. He was smiling at me, smiling tenderly. In my dream, I wanted to smile back, but my eyes were riveted on his feet, on his foot, his right foot. And even as I watched, the foot fell away at a point just above the calf. And someone, a man, was shouting.
Wait! Wait with that knife!
I opened my eyes. It was Lawson!
You were right, man. I may be a killer, but that was for cause, for provocation. I... I had to turn back. Let's all get to work now. Without that knife.
Somewhere south of Ensenada, along the road that gropes its way down the spiny peninsula of Baja California, there's a man who's wanted for murder. He killed, and by all the laws of society, deserves to be killed. And yet, what am I to tell my young son when he includes him in his prayers each night? Or my husband, when I see the look that comes over him as he sits and taps his good right foot? Or myself, when I consider how I feel, when I will read that a fugitive named Lawson has been shot down? For we know, as surely he must know, that this, too, is only a question of time.
And we're certainly grateful for a thrilling performance. Thank you very much.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Herb. And I'd like to say thanks to Harry Bartell, who played the part of Duck. Thank you very much, Harry.
In just a moment, I'm going to introduce Mr. William Powell, the star of next week's play. Now, here is Norman Brokenshire.
Here's a tip when you're making a trip. Put a bottle of Bromo Seltzer in that grip of yours. Because, neighbors, when you've got Bromo Seltzer along with you, you're ready for fast, pleasant, three-way headache help at all times. And you never can tell when an ordinary headache will strike. You know, Bromo Seltzer is famous for giving fast, three-way headache help. Now, by this, I mean Bromo Seltzer quickly relieves the pain of the headache itself. And at the same time, it soothes upset stomach and jumpy nerves that may team up with that headache. And it's so pleasant tasting, too. Neighbors, it's actually refreshing. Bromo Seltzer is on sale at all drugstores. Caution, use only as directed. And, of course, if a headache persists or recurs, see your doctor. Remember this tip when you're making a trip. Put Bromo Seltzer in that grip of yours. Be prepared to
fight headache three ways. Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Dan Baxter appeared by arrangement with 20th Century Fox and may soon be seen in the Darrow Lev Zanuck production, All About Eve, co-starring Betty Davis and Celeste Holm. Tonight's play was written especially for Miss Baxter by Maurice Zim, with music composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. And now here is the star of next week's thrilling story on Hollywood Star Playhouse, Mr. William Powell.
Would you like to know who's going to win this year's World Series? Or next year's Kentucky Derby? Would you like to know the Dow Jones averages for, say, 3 weeks from tomorrow? You think nobody could possibly know? Then just wait until you meet me as the man who knew tomorrow.
Bill, we'll certainly be looking forward to that one next week. On tonight's program, all characters and incidents were fictitious. Any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Portions of this program were transcribed. And now this is Herbert Rawlinson saying good night for all of us here on the Hollywood Star Playhouse and the fast-acting headache help in the familiar blue bottle. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.